This fall, we have been moving through the Old Testament, studying some of the most important stories of our faith, and we've learned a lot about ourselves by looking at the story of the Israelites. And the struggles that they had are similar to the struggles that we have. And one of the ways God offered them help was through the gift of the Ten Commandments. Now, most people have some familiarity with the Ten Commandments, but they might not be able to name all 10 of them, but they do think of these commandments as a set of rules that help us with living our lives. And yet the Ten Commandments is so much more than just a set of rules that we rotely follow. They're really designed to shape our character and to help us live into the freedom that God offers. So let's take a moment now to read the scripture passage that has the Ten Commandments. It comes from the 20th chapter of Exodus, and I'll read verses 1 through 17. I invite you to open in your own Bibles if you have your Bible with you and follow along as I read, or simply follow along on the screen, and the words will pop up in just a moment. But let's listen now to Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. Then God spoke all these words, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." Amen. The author Brian McLaren once wrote, "It's easier to get people out of slavery than it is to get slavery out of people." Now, that certainly is the case with the Israelites. God led them out of their slavery in Egypt, but the road to true freedom didn't happen immediately, and it didn't follow a straight line. It zigged and it zagged. There were delays. The Israelites at times traveled backwards. They grumbled and they complained, and some of them even wanted to go back to Egypt. And all of this shows us that the Israelites were still held captive by lots of different things. And I think we know what this is like. We know what it's like to be enslaved to something, like food, alcohol, fear, worry, lust, shame, greed, control, and I think the list goes on. Getting rid of these kinds of things is hard. Getting the slavery out of our lives isn't easy. We need transformation. Our society needs transformation. And this is This is at the heart of the Ten Commandments. See, these commandments are designed to get the slavery out of us, and it was designed to get the slavery out of the Israelites. Now, when the Israelites were originally given these commandments, God did it in such a way that grabbed hold of their attention. I want you to picture the scene, and you can read this in Exodus chapter 19. But when God gave them the Ten Commandments, the wind started blowing. There were claps of thunder and flashes of lightning. There were sounds of trumpets, smoke and clouds covered Mount Sinai. And at the bottom of the mountain, the people huddled together, trembling in fear. They knew that something big was happening. They knew that they should pay attention because God was speaking. And according to Moses, as it's reported in verse 2 of chapter 20, God said, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." That's how the Ten Commandments begins. And the commandments that follow are full of life and liberation. They're not merely rules or laws that we rotely follow. Now, it's true that they are words of law, but they're also words of freedom. In these commandments, God is telling us that we can live as free people. In these commandments, God is providing us with a standard which will help us live into our freedom. Unfortunately, we don't always follow them. There are plenty of times when we fail. And that's just part of being human. But God promises to not give up on us because God continues to work for our freedom. And we know this is true because the Lord established a covenant with the Israelites through these commandments. And the value of a covenant is that when one side breaks its promises or does something wrong, the relationship isn't terminated. You see, a covenant is a deep, soul-level connection that binds one to another. And God has chosen to be bound together with us. The writer Henry Nouwen has said that being bound in a covenant with God means that we're loved beyond measure. And he wrote these words. He said, "When God makes a covenant with us, the Lord is saying, 'I love you with an everlasting love. I will be faithful to you even when you run away from me, reject me, or betray me.'" God doesn't give up on us even when we fail because the Lord doesn't want us to fall to slavery again. He wants to free us from anything and everything that tries to hold us captive. And we see this with Israel. The Israelites were no longer slaves who belonged to Pharaoh. They belonged to God. And God gave them the freedom to do whatever they wanted to do. Now, as they journeyed on their way to the promised land, as they journeyed through the wilderness, they were learning how to live into this freedom. They didn't always do the right thing, but the Lord gave them the law to clarify expectations and to help them thrive. Now, the ideas that we have in the Ten Commandments weren't new for the Israelites. They had heard all this stuff before. All of it is found in the book of Genesis, where it tells us to not murder, cheat, steal, covet, and to put away false gods. People of Israel had heard all of this before, but they have the same problem that we have. They had a hard time shedding those things that enslaved them. Now, in giving the Ten Commandments, God was initiating a process of guiding the Israelites into a new way of life, a life of freedom. They were liberated for a purpose. And now they're in the process of learning what it is and what it means to live in a relationship with God. And they were learning what it means to live in a relationship to each other, to other people. The Ten Commandments is basically divided into these two different groups. See, the first four speak to how people relate to God, and the rest deal with how people relate to each other. Jesus had a clear understanding of this, and he gave us a simple way to put all of it into practice. He summarized all the laws and commandments by saying that we're to love God and we're to love our neighbors. And when we love God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and when we love our neighbors as we love ourselves, we discover that we're living into the freedom that God offers. But sometimes when we read the Ten Commandments, we lose sight of this truth. And we end up thinking that the commandments are just a bunch of rules that we have to follow. They're a list of things that we shouldn't do. And that's when the Ten Commandments feels more like a burden than a gift from God. But what God outlines in the Ten Commandments isn't meant to make us miserable. God gave us these commandments to lead us toward freedom because they really help us in all of our relationships. They teach us that God is the reason for our being. And if we focus on the Lord, then we're more likely to make the most of life. And we'll more likely make the most of all our relationships. And ultimately, these commandments help us develop the kind of character that God wants in His people. Now, God was working to develop the character of the Israelites by giving them these commandments. But the Lord also gave them things like rituals, holidays, and other such things to help deepen their character as free people. And one of these practices involves setting aside a space as a holy place. Now, the Israelites started with a simple tent of meeting. Now, that was eventually replaced by a more elaborate tabernacle. The tabernacle was located in the middle of their camp, and it moved with them as they traveled through the wilderness. The tabernacle reminded the people that God was always present with them. God was with them as they walked through the dry and dusty desert on their way to freedom in the Promised Land. And one of the things that the people did in the tabernacle was to offer sacrifices. At the time of the Exodus, animal sacrifices had replaced human sacrifices. But the whole idea of making blood sacrifices was gradually being replaced with festivals and communing with God over a meal. So what we see happening is that the sacrifices that the Israelites were making to God were increasingly taking the form of food. Now, at certain times of year, and at those moments when people realized that they had done something terrible, they would come to the tabernacle bringing offerings and sacrifices that would make for a feast. They would bring their produce and their livestock and their wine. It was their way of saying, God, we're sorry for what we've done. We want to reconcile with you. We want to reconcile with each other. And we believe the clearest way to do this is by sharing a meal together. And so we bring some food as a way of expressing our desire for fellowship because we want to keep walking with you. And we want to keep walking with each other on the road to true freedom. Jesus encouraged his disciples to do the same thing. On the night before he was crucified, he gathered his friends together for a meal where he reminded them of where they had been, what they had learned, and where they're headed. It was a meal of communion. Now, both the Israelites and the disciples needed this type of fellowship because the journey of life often feels like a wilderness journey. Life is hard, and it can be difficult because there are some things that try to hold us captive. There's some things that are just hard for us to shed. We have a hard time getting rid of these things. And sometimes it feels like the hard stuff in life never goes away. But we keep praying and we keep hoping that we will one day be set free of everything that holds us captive. You know, we've been living in a hard time. Feels like for the last year and a half or so, we've been stuck in a wilderness. And during this time, we've seen some dramatic changes happen all around us and even in church life. Some of the things that we've counted on have disappeared. But one of the silver linings of this time of wilderness is that we've been given the opportunity to define and redefine what's really important. And I think it's pushed us as a church to find fresh ways to touch the hearts of everyone we encounter. Now, what would it look like if we lived and practiced the Ten Commandments in a fresh way, where we see it as an invitation to freedom rather than a set of rules that we have to follow? Now, to imagine what this looks like, I think it's helpful to reframe the commandments in a positive way. You know, we often focus on these commandments as statements that tell us of the things that we shouldn't do. They even come across as a negative. You know, this is what you should not do. You should not cheat. You should not steal, so forth. But if we wrote the Ten Commandments and framed them in a positive way, they might sound like this. So for the first commandment, the commandment that we traditionally say is, you must not have any other God before me, we might rephrase that to say, put God first. That's a more positive way to state it. The second commandment we might phrase as, keep your focus on God, instead of, you must not make idols. The third commandment, which we know as, you must not misuse the name of the Lord, we might reframe by saying, use God's name with respect and love. The next commandment is, remember the Sabbath. And we could say, take time to rest and think about God. Those are the things we should do on the Sabbath, right? The fifth commandment, not much change with this one, but honor and love your whole family, your mother, your father, your brothers, your sisters, your whole family. Now, the sixth commandment tells us to not murder. Well, let's look at what's behind that. And what's behind that, I think, has to do with love and generosity. And so we might state it as this: live toward other people with love and generosity. And frankly, if you're loving people, if you're acting generously towards them, you're not going to murder them. The seventh commandment is, you must not commit adultery. Now, people who commit adultery aren't being faithful, are they? So put it in a positive way, we might say, be faithful in all your relationships. The eighth commandment is, you must not steal. Well, we could rephrase that to say, celebrate what you have rather than dwell on what you don't. That makes sense to me. You know, sometimes we are always looking at what other people have and not our own. So focus on what you do have and not dwell on what others have. The ninth commandment is one that tells us to not bear false witness. And we might write that to say, speak well of others and truthfully to yourself. I think it makes sense to speak well of other people. The second part of that, I think, is even harder, because we often tell ourselves lots of little lies. It's so important that we be open to the truth, however that comes to us. So be truthful to yourself. And the tenth commandment, you must not covet, might rephrase it like this: why get down about what others have when you can share what you do have? So what would it look like if we lived the kind of life which I just described for you? How do you think it would make you feel? Might we finally know what it's like to be free? Well, God is walking with us on this journey to true freedom. We haven't reached our destination yet. There's still lots of things that try to hold us captive. But God's working to get the slavery out of us So won't you follow God on this road of freedom by practicing the commandments? Won't you make it your life's ambition to love God and love people with everything that you have? Doing so is transformational, and it will set you on the path to true freedom. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we confess to you that we allow different things to hold us captive. We don't always keep our focus on you, and we aren't always faithful. We sin. And so today, Lord, we pray for forgiveness. We pray that you would continue to walk with us and that you would continue to shape us and deepen our character. We pray that you would release us from anything that holds us captive. And we pray that we would live into our freedom by loving you and loving our neighbors with all of our hearts, minds, and souls, just as Jesus did. We pray this in his name. Amen. Our band will lead us in a song in just a moment. I'll be in the back if any of you would like to come back and talk with me and share how you are responding to God. This is a time, of course, to make decisions about your own discipleship, whether or not you'd like to unite with our church in membership, or if you're feeling God pulling you to a particular ministry. I'd love to hear how you're responding to God. I'll be in the back as we sing. So let's stand now, and we'll sing our song together.